April 8, 2018, it's the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Afro Pedro Show, April 8, man alone, Brother Matt, indisposed, sunny Sunday here. But I'm not totally man alone, because through the wonders of those engineers from Estonia with their Skype software, I got with me Nels Klein. Welcome aboard, Nels.
Greetings, Watson.
Okay. Yeah. Konnichiwa. We started the show off with Green Dolphin Street. This is the last tour John Coltrane did with Miles Davis. I think it was Miles Davis's first tour to Europe. And I think they did a set each, which was kind of calmer, right? Because I read about in the old days they would do like 5 20-minute sets a night or something. Miles, in the Quincy Troupe book, he claimed that's how he got on Cho-Cho and shit. But this was supposed to be a little calmer. And after this, they come back home and John Coltrane starts his own band.
Right.
Then something from the brand new band and the brand new album, For Each a Flower, the Nels Klein Four. So let's start with that. What is the fucking Nels Klein Four? No, because I never heard. I knew about Nels Klein Trio from my days before even playing with you, and then later on Nels Klein Singers. Now what is right. Nels Klein Four? And then there was a little interim thing, a Nels Klein, Destroy All Night Nels Kleins.
Right.
And then the Nels Klein Singers Now, the Nels Klein Four.
Yeah, it's just yet another project, Watt. It's something I wanted to do as an outgrowth of the ongoing duo I have with guitarist Julian Lage. And so Julian and I, after making a duo record and doing a bunch of touring together, thought it'd be fun to play with the rhythm section. So about almost 3 years ago now, I convened these gentlemen at a gig at the Stone in the East Village, New York City, and it worked really well. And you know, Scott Colley I met years and years ago. He's originally from Los Angeles, an Eagle Rock native, and has played with pretty much every jazz great you can think of, and he really wanted to play with me. So he's also played for years and years with Julian in Julian's trio, but also they played together in Gary Burton's new quartet, as it was called, for years. And Tom Rainey and I have played together on and off for maybe about 16 or 17 years, one of my favorite musicians in the world. And it turned out that Scott and Tom had played together in the 90s quite a bit here in New York, maybe hundreds of gigs as a working rhythm section. So it really went well, and so I decided to kind of forge ahead. It's kind of a difficult band to schedule because everybody's doing so many different things, but that kind of works for me. I'm still doing the Singers and working up to recording the Singers again for something. And probably another duo record with Julian, but for now we've got what I like to call the NC4.
Okay, since the NC4 comes out of, that was Klein 4, comes out of your duet with Julian, you should talk about Julian, that, how you guys got together.
Yeah, Julian's really one of the most amazing people I've ever known, and very young. I think he's 30 years old now. And quite a virtuoso, but not just an arm waver or finger wiggler type of virtuoso, like a real musical human and a lovely person. And we met at a lunch that used to happen sometimes. It was called the Crony Lunches at the end of the street that my wife Yuka and I were living on in West 11th Street. And it involved Jim Hall, the great guitarist, who lived on West 12th Street. And his friend Brian Camilio used to have these lunches to try to get Jim out of the apartment, hang with his buddies. This is when I started hanging with Scott Colley, among other people. A lot of guitarists, Adam Rogers and John Pondell and Kate Shute, and really, really great people. And then one day, Julian came to one of these lunches, and I'd been hearing about him from Jim Hall. Jim loved to talk about him. They had played together, and in fact, the first time I saw Julian play live, he was playing with Jim and Scott Colley and Joey Barron, the great drummer. They were at the Blue Note. And Julie and I just hit it off. We started improvising together, and I'd have to describe it as really rather magical. A really deep connection was formed right away. And so it's just fun to play with Julian, and he kicks my ass. And I always feel like I play a little better if I'm playing with Julian.
And you guys made records?
We made a duo record called Room.
And you didn't send it to me, so I ain't played it on my fucking show, but you should do that because I would like to.
Okay. Sorry.
You know, if you send me shit, I'll play it, but if you don't... But I knew you'd been playing with him. I just didn't know if you recorded it or not.
Yeah, it's really...
Actually, for people like... You know, you said a bunch of names of these guitar guys and all this, and for people here who know you in SoCal about your music, what I got to tell them is a lot of this stuff is a product of you moving away from SoCal to New York City.
Correct.
Right? Even though you played with some of these guys in the Nels Klein 4 when you were here in SoCal.
Yeah, I played with Tom Rainey when I was still living there. We had a trio with Andrea Parkins, an improvising trio. We toured Europe once and made two records.
Right, so even though you played with them and stuff, actually all the connect, it's the music scene where you're living now. More conducive to stuff like this than when you were here and your brother, Alex, trying to get free music happening with your New Music Mondays, all that stuff and all that labor, and hardly any fruit, except, of course, your personal investment in your own music journey, that wasn't wasted at all, of course, because it always added up to the next time you play, and that's still that way. I'm not trying to discount any, all those things, but it's just different kinds of environment, would you say? Yeah.
As an improviser, primarily, I think, at least that's what I feel strongest about when I play, I guess, is that I can improvise better than I can interpret. I love to keep trying to play and interpret other people's music and my own for that matter. But improvising is really kind of my big thing. And certainly there are an amazing number of skilled improvisers here and people of the so-called very loosely termed jazz world, many of whom I knew before I actually ended up living here, but now I'm astonished constantly by the number of people of various styles and coming from various scenes and various ages who really have something going on. And so I'm just being in proximity to that energy and to that kind of activity puts me in a lot of situations that I guess wouldn't have happened so often or so unpredictably while I was living in Los Angeles.
Yeah, SoCal, you kind of had to put it together, like invite cats, please make this a tour stop, or maybe even sometimes brought cats in. I remember some of those New Music Monday things were those were events organized by you. It wasn't just like booking who's coming through. I mean, you had to make it happen.
Yeah, I was trying to do three artists or three groups or whatever per evening and generally anchoring it with my old trio. And sometimes there were a lot of people traveling who needed gigs. And so really I started that series primarily, well, it was at the behest of one of the owners of the Alligator Lounge, whose name was Milt Wilson. And I really started it for the locals. Really, I wanted a place for everybody to be able to meet and hear each other because it's challenging in Los Angeles just by virtue of geography. Yeah.
Balkanized neighborhoods.
Yeah, but it really kind of happened. At least for a couple of years there, people were driving from all over the place.
Yeah, and then the tour stop thing, too.
Yeah, and then, well, what happened is that there were so many people wanted a gig like this when they were traveling through Southern California that it became kind of cool in one way, but also a little frustrating for me because I really wanted to save those spaces for my favorite friends, local artists that I felt needed gigs and needed wider recognition. But it ended up being a really nice mix ultimately.
And yeah, because in a way, everybody needed the guys on the road needed the recognition, too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at one point, Modesky, Martin, and Wood played because they had a gig canceled in Los Angeles. So they took, you know, it was a door gig, so they certainly made less money than they were probably asking the club that they were to play at. But it went, you know, really well, and we had Charles Gayle a couple of times.
Yeah, I know you helped make those happen. You kind of brought him out of retirement, right?
Well, he was kind of back at that point, but
well, you presented him with some opportunity.
Yeah, and a lot of that came through my friends in the early days of the Knitting Factory, and also Thurston Moore. You know, Thurston kind of made, for example, Charles Gayle and other people like Joe McPhee and Arthur Doyle made these guys recognize names to Sonic Youth fans, and so that really expanded the audience. At least for a minute there, for a lot of these so-called free jazz players.
William Hooker.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me about this song, Imperfect 10, off the new record.
Well, that was the working title of that you'll love, Watt. It was called Jazz Fusion Composition.
And it's better than Fusion Cumbria. Was it like a Charlie Mingus song?
Yeah. Oh, I love that record.
It's a great song, but the title, oh my God.
Yeah, but you know, I like to use the F word just to upset everybody. Because after all, I mean, I really am kind of a fusion dude. And Imperfect 10.
Would you rather take the F word over the P word, prog?
You know, they're all like these little hampers, you know. You get a thing into the dirty clothes hamper, the clean clothes hamper. I don't
but
know.
They're still hampers. Yeah.
So I'm hampered by the hampers, but I have to say that...
Don't put a damper in the pamper.
Fusion's a pretty meaningless word at this point. You know, I like to think of where I come from as being kind of, you know, originally it was rock and roll, and then what we call jazz rock and electric jazz are all these terms that predated the F word. But as fusion goes, Imperfect 10 is kind of a fusion tune. So it was written kind of really for fun and stylistically wasn't exactly where I thought I wanted to go with the Nels Klein 4, but everyone really had a good time playing it. And it reminds me of one of my favorite musicians, John Scofield. There's a little Sco.
Remember we went and played after him at the Monterey Jazz?
Yeah.
What was that, 2004?
Yeah, I remember I had my back had gone out. I remember I played that one in a back brace.
Yep. But I never... Well, here we go, in Perfect 10. Thank you.
paper doll for the paper dolls. Paper doll cutouts and fairy tale rhymes don't usually go together, but they do sometimes, and boy, do we ever put on the show. We'll skate our asses off, don't you know. Blocking and jamming, spin them around, replicating our world as we're coming on down. Paper doll chase out, it's a paper doll, wind them up, gonna clock them out. Keep on jamming, really whip them out, it's a paper doll.
Parvare vacas de tira bank. Thank you.
Nah. If you just bring me an attitude, I know where you can buy one. Because I'm just a kind of white and moralizer. Your people's not for me. I'm sorry, but your name, they call me an acronym. Now to change.
It's the rodeo, oh, oh, oh. The rodeo, oh, oh, oh.
לפניו מדלגים שני כבשים, הם לא יודעים שעכשיו מלחמה, ומאחוריו מדדר שבט אחד. זה כבר הסוף, אומר ניר, ומשחרר את הנצרה. חולפים הכבשים, חולף הרועה, משתהה הכבש. הוא יודע, באותו אופן שכל קורבן יודע, עדיף למות ולהמשיך ללכת.
Just getting warmed up. Thank you.
was in Perfect Ten from Nails Climb 4. Then we had Joe Burr with Paper Doll, Kutarashki with Minamar, Bernays Propaganda with Darwin Ney no Volpravo, SS Space Systems Fujiwara no Yoshitsune, Hello God featuring Ganja Sufi from Nano Face, Shit Is Whack from Feel Spectres, Roosterhead, Attitude for Sale, Robert Pollard, Tonight's the Radio, Rodeo, sorry, but not his first rodeo, Farthest South, Near Morning, and finally, Furtive?
Furtive, yeah.
Furtive?
Yeah.
By Nails Climb 4. What about that too?
Well, it's one that I wrote, and we recorded it without having ever played it live. We just basically kind of learned it and recorded it. Cause
was there a lot of that on the record?
Well, you know, the first session I did after we'd played a couple of gigs, I just sort of tracked some songs to see how it would go, and not knowing how I was going to release the stuff. And I played some of that stuff. I guess I was thinking of them as demos, but possible masters. And I played some of it for Don Was, who's one of the chiefs at Blue Note, and he said, "I love this." So they decided they wanted to license another record from me, which is what they did with the one called Lovers.
Yeah, I got to play all that on the show.
Yeah, so then it turned out we were making a Blue Note record, so I thought, well, I guess I got to make it a full-length record. So we went in with some of the newer things I had and recorded, and I re-recorded a couple of the songs that I thought we could maybe do a little bit better. So we had one day of that, and Furtive was the new song, along with For Each a Flower. And it reminds me, in at least, I don't know if it reminds me, but I was thinking about a Duke Ellington piece from the Far East Suite called A Tourist Point of View when I wrote this. And I also was looking for a continuation of a sort of methodology that Julian and I use, where I write short lines and just put numbers on them, and I just hold up my hand like, you know, which number, and we play that line and then continue improvising.
Like for Jews.
Collectively, yeah. And so there's no sovereign, as opposed to Imperfect Ten, which is, I think, the only back-and-forth sovereign soloing song with me and Julian. Julian first and then me right after him. This has what about half the record features, which is collective quartet playing and Julian and I playing off of each other, you know, at the same time. And this piece, Furtive, was very specifically designed to accommodate that kind of interplay, and it sounds kind of like a mad chase scene or something.
The middle part of In the Court of the Crimson King with that clarinet. We're at the end of the first hour, April 8, 2018, Dishawop Peter Show, special guest Nels Klein, old tape, Fire 2.
No
April 8th, 2018. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. Thank you.
难行，捏紧我色心，徒劳我虚名。
Watt for Pedro show. We start off the second hour with Swing Ghost 59. Tell us about that, Dills.
Well, it's I guess it's kind of a whimsical piece. It sounds kind of heavy, but the idea behind the piece is a little odd. It's a situation where I guess very rarely in my life I've had a song title before I wrote the piece.
The way Watt usually does it.
Yeah? Well, this one I thought it'd be interesting to write a piece called Swing Ghost 59 that was kind of about a conflict, an imagined conflict between swung time and straight time, even time. And so in this scenario, the scenario of Swing Ghost 59, swing is losing the battle against straight time and, in fact, gets bludgeoned by straight time twice in the composition, and the rest of it is just kind of a nice excuse to improvise together as a quartet. It's another piece where generally it's a collective improvisation. After the sort of swift, pocketed, thematic stuff with the guitars, Scott Colley steps out for a little while and plays some bass, and then Julie and I come in and we just basically mess around until we quiet down into a little swing line, very retro little swing section, which once again becomes bludgeoned into submission by heavy 4/4.
The pastiche gets pounded.
Pounded.
I love it. Then we had some stuff from China. PK-14 with Flowers in Hand, A Crazed Woman. The Top Floor Circus with If I'm Not at the Train Station, Then I'm on My Way There. And finally, Boot Ye with Lost. What about this tune, Aminetta? Aminette.
Oh, yeah. Aminette is just kind of an excuse to play free jazz. It's something that I've done with the singers. I've done it in the duo with
Jerry. Is there a difference between free jazz and free music?
Well, I mean, it's just basically, it's kind of like, I hate this term, but I guess I'll have to use it. It's kind of a free bop line. And so this free bop thing is in my...
You mean like Roland Kirk?
No, like Ornette.
Oh, okay.
So this, to me, is called Aminette. The song is called Aminette because there's a line in it that goes... And that line, to me...
Is Ornette.
It's reminiscent of a Scott Amendola song called Street Beat, dedicated to Ed Blackwell. And then the rest of it's all very Ornette-ish as well, so I just called it Aminette.
What's your take on harmonic?
Well, you know, I think that what Ornette was getting at with the term harmonic, if I'm not mistaken, was basically this idea of untransposed melodic confluence. And as a kind of theoretical thing, I don't really know what to say about it, but I think that that's what Ornette was going for, and it's interesting to think about independent melodic development regardless of, shall we say, you know, triads and scales and things like
harmony.
That. It's more of an untransposed simultaneous melodic thread or layering of threads, and I think Ornette Coleman's one of the most important musicians of our time or any time. It's just
what about Joe Baez in his Mechalodiac variation?
I think he's really inspired. I love Joe, and I think he's really inspired by Primetime. And I think that Ornette's Primetime band, especially the first iteration with Charlie Ellerby and Bern Nix playing guitars, had this astonishing kind of
DiNardo. And was Jamaluddin in that version?
Jamaluddin was in the first version, yeah. Hey, by the way, I'm playing with Jamaluddin later this month for the first time. I'm very excited about it.
I hope he breaks some strings for you. That guy is so wild. I saw Primetime the first time, the first note, maybe of the first song, he broke a string. He's wild, yeah. Much respect.
He's an amazing guy.
Let's listen to... Eminem.
caminar, sabe más lo peligroso, es sentarse a descansar.
Fever Show. That was Aminette from the Nels Klein Floor. Then La Hormiga, Hormiga, from Very Be Careful. Guess we had on actually, you know, they're Columbia Cats, but their version is called Vallenato. But everybody thinks cumbia right away.
Yeah,
you're telling me there's all kinds of Columbia musics because of the geography. Yeah, some regions are totally separated from other ones, so they developed their own traditions. Then we had Andrea Roten. He was on last month. Italian guy living in Czech Republic. Susadovich Pes. Then Ghost Car, right out of here. That's got young Daniel, who's doing some, playing with the lips. Geisterfahrer, that's German for ghost driver and scary shit. You get on the freeway the wrong way or Autobahn. Healers with A Little Time in the Laundry Room, just west of Chicago. Nels knows a little bit of Chicago. I was conceived there. And then finally, the reprise to Laura Hormiga from Very Be Careful. So, Nels, I'm confused here. The record started at, because you didn't know how it was going to be realized it was going to be a Blue Note record. So you started the project actually just getting some tunes together, not knowing whether it was going to be EP or an album or what.
Yeah.
But then once the Don Was guy, he puts down his, because he's famous for being on the leash for the next proj. That's what I hear. But he was in on your proj, and he gave you the go. Because people, actually, Lovers was a blue. And Robbie, one of their big acts is Robbie Coltrane, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know if we're obvious. Is he still on Blue Note? I don't even remember who's on the label, man. I'm sorry.
That's okay. What happened was when you got the go, all of a sudden the whole idea changes. So you go and you re-recorded things.
Yeah. I mean,
were they different pads, different studios?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. In fact, the studio that we ended up finishing the record at was the same one where you and I recorded at Tony's, but we weren't at Tony's. We were next door.
To Studio G.
Studio G, yeah. And but we were in the Studio A and Studio G, and it was so small. And I thought it was going to be bigger, but we only had one day. This is the most unscheduled band of all time as far as trying to get people together.
Yeah, right.
It's just ridiculous. So I had basically one day where everyone could do this, and then we'd make our release date. So we did it. We did it in the little Studio A, and did a second version of Swing Ghost 59, recorded the new stuff. And the rest of it was done at a place called Strange Weather in Williamsburg, in the demo stage, supposedly, you know, whatever you want to call that phase. And then we just put it all together. Ron St. Germain mixed it. My friend Ed McEntee recorded in both studios. And, you know, it's the kind of thing that doesn't take long to do.
No.
We're basically capturing performances.
I'm just saying that because to me it sounds pretty, you know, good integrity. It don't sound like here and there. It's pretty. Ron did a good job mixing.
Yeah, he's amazing. And
was,
you know,
Tony there to record you? Was Tony the knob guy at Studio G?
My friend Ed did it.
Okay.
He's not a Studio G guy.
Okay. That's all right. Look, we're at the second end of the second hour, April 8, 2018. The Shawat Pedro Show, special guest Neil Klein, hang tight for hour three. April 8, 2018, it's the third hour of the Watford Pedro Show.
Can't forget.
For Pedro Show, started the third hour off with Temporarily by the Nails Klein Four. Nails?
Yeah, hi.
Temporarily.
Yeah, that's by Carla Glay. It's a very old piece. The only version I know of, interestingly, is by the Jimmy Giuffre Three. And I don't think Carla Glay ever recorded the song herself, and Paul Glay never played it. I don't know actually what the story is. That's pretty unusual for Carla Bley material from the 60s to just have one version. But I think it's really a great little piece, and it's just another excuse for group interplay and a free improvisation.
Yeah, what did you ask the guys to do? Like, take direction from the tune or take direction from the sitch?
I think it's mostly from the sitch, actually.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was thinking.
You know, there's a lot of... There's a mood that's set up by the piece, but I think we, were we to stay with that too long, in that sort of a swing feel, it would kind of be, limiting and maybe a little tedious. And also I took my cue from the Jimmy Giuffre Three, and they in their recording from 1961 of this song, just immediately depart into, collective brilliance. One of my favorite groups ever.
Righteous trip to that kind of thing. Truly, I'm into it. We had The Man of Glow with Jack. Paul Rosler actually recorded that. Monday, Can't Forget You. Then John S. Williams from Australia with Barrel of a Gun. Finally, out of Baltimore, Moldome with Low Lunge to Jodo. Now, this tune here, as close as that,
mm-hmm.
in likeness.
Oh, well, it's, I guess I have a few pieces that are somewhat like this. They're based on some arpeggiating guitar thing that I think sounds, you know, real boss and mysterious or whatever. This was the most recent of those. There's, for example, you mentioned the Destroy All Nels Klein record from the old days. Super dramatic version of this kind of a piece on there. It's called The Ringing Hand. yeah, there was... Four guitars. Wayne Pete would sometimes play keyboards. Zena Parkins on harp. My brother Alex Bob did play bass, though.
Okay.
Woody Aplanalp, Carla Bozulich, and G.E. Stinson, and me, the guitars.
And so it's kind of a A nod to that, huh? A less dramatic version. And of course, fitted for the four, Nels Klein 4.
I think that as close as that, which I also play with Yuka in our duo, it's very much an outgrowth of my interest in music by Ralph Towner. And I think harmonically and just mood-wise has something to do with my sort of long-lasting appreciation for a lot of recordings on the ECM label. And so it has a kind of impressionistic aspect.
Okay, let's listen.
pasto. She said, kid, don't give up your dreams. Those days in the fade away, it seems. What a sad thing to say. Come on now, but not in vain. Leave today, but not by train. You'll have kids and they'll go far. A little brother found a different way. Our distant friends will find early grace. Tossed alone and ready to talk. What a sad thing to say. You're all back but not in vain.
Sovereign country to kill. Royal, because we know how. The last experiment in freedom now. Join up in tyranny for jobs and sword. Don't say unpatriotic word. Until love falls apart and ghosts stand still and souls fly away. Spectre's gone in a rapture. Wild-eyed horse race of life until the bugle call of a saxophone when you're swinging way out there alone. Talking cell phone to the last good number. For the Dark Street Jones, the poor man's opera, in the palace of dancing bones. Plays all night, in whose country was it anyway? Demigods, repent for what they will do tomorrow with your bodies, limbs, and souls. In back rooms, making deals to feed the beast. Blood splattered against far-off desert stone. Hopeless unless you play the game of death. Hold on in pain. Hold on to love. Where sirens wail under Walt Whitman Bridge. Hold on in pain. Hold on to love. Where sirens wail under Walt Whitman Bridge.
Thank you.
Live from Pico. So last music for this edition, as close as that, as close as it gets to an ECM tribute. But also echoing back to Destroy All Nels Klein days. So yeah. it's kind of a mixed metaphor. Then The Evil Hearted You out of East L.A. with Nine Stories. Four Dimensional Nightmare with Philly Delphic. It's got some lyrics from Charlie Plymell, Cherry Valley, who was a good friend of Paul Blay. He lived up there, you know, his last years.
Mm-hmm.
Frog Hair out of Houston with Nothing Behind a Ring. A Zero Den out of Perth with Pisces Live, I think WMFU, which I'm going to play in June with Danny Frankel and some guy named, a young New Yorker named Matt Motel, and a project called Afternoon Freak.
Nice.
So, yeah, and I'm going to go record some more Socktight with Raymond Pettibone, and Dirk Vandenberg's coming with me. We're going to spend Bloomsday in your town, your adopted town, Nels Klein. Then 1518 out of Italy with In the End, and finally, parts 1 and 2 of River Mouth.
Yeah.
I was curious about this.
Well, it's part one is the sort of drifting, another arpeggio going there. Julian's playing. Piece begins and ends the same way. In this way, I think of it as just one big flowing river, and part two is sort of where the river flows more quickly, I guess. And it's sort of a drone, big Lydian drone at the end.
Well, that certainly speaks for itself. But do you know about this meat puppet? It's called Two Rivers.
No.
Yeah, it's on one of the early records, and it's about the two rivers ending up being one big river. It's such a great metaphor. Yeah. So when I saw this parts 1 and 2, I immediately thought Kirk Kirkwood.
What record is that?
I think it's number two or it's number three. So it's number two or Up on the Sun.
Okay, well that means that I actually know the song but just forgot the title because I love both those records. I just haven't heard them in a long time.
Yeah. Two River, I mean, just thematically, you know, but he musically works on that same thing that you did. And I just wanted to check in on that. Look, what's the next? It's hard for this band to play, but there are some gigs.
Yeah, we're playing a record release gig in New York City, Le Poisson Rouge, on the 16th of this month.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what that used to be? The Village Underground, huh?
Village Gate.
Village Gate, that's what it was called. Because John Coltrane, I don't know, they changed the stage and everything, but he played in that room, I was told, Village Gate.
I'm sure he did. It's I never went there when it was the Village Gate. I missed it.
Yeah, me either. I mean,
but I guess it's a different layout inside. Anyway, the NC4 is going to go to Europe.
I did do the Village Underground. That's why I did the first time Black Game with Joe Baiza.
Okay.
Yeah, but it had a different name. It was like the Elbow Room or some shit.
Oh.
Yeah.
I almost went there in the 80s because Sonic Youth were playing along with the Butthole Surfers, all one band, and had four drummers, and I really wanted to go check this out, but I was stuck trying to get a drum set back to its original owner after a Julius Hemphill tour.
So
I remember I kept calling the club and asking if they'd started yet, and I'd be like, no, they haven't started. Nope, they haven't started, and then I couldn't make it.
And then they ended. Look, people, you can find Nels Klein info on the web at NELSCLINE.com.
Yeah.
Check this out. If you get a chance, come see him play. Nels, I want to thank you so much for being on the show, and I love this new record, and I can't hear what's coming down the road next.
Yeah, well, it's really been a pleasure to be on your show after all this time, and really nice to be able to make some music, and I'm really glad you like the record.
I want to hear the duet stuff, and I want to hear the new stuff with Mrs. Yuka, okay? Please.
Okay, that record's almost done.
Well,
I have no idea how to put it out.
No wine before it's time, so.
Yeah, but I'll get you that duo record.
Okay. It's been April 8, 2018 edition of the Watch for Peter Show. Special guest, Nels Klein. Everybody out there, keep your powder dry.